here at Highland Hills, we're talking about living life east of Eden. And I was at a fall retreat with our students last week, about this time last week. Let's see. We were, I guess I was shooting all of them with paintballs right now. So we had our worship times in the evening. And so we were, I was thinking about that last week. I was like, we're paintballing. I was like, Matthew should be starting right about now. So yeah, we were at fall retreat last week. So we were there last weekend. And it's my understanding that Matthew taught last week. He started this new series, Life East of Eden. He talked about what we refer to as the fall, not to be confused with the fall retreat. Those of you who spent time here last weekend spent time thinking about the sin of Adam and Eve. They sinned and they were cast out of the garden east of Eden. And that's where today's story begins. The story's in Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a worker of the ground. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of fruits of the ground, and Abel was brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. So Adam and Eve have a couple of kids. God told them that they would. Eve acknowledges this. She says, I have had him with the help of the Lord. They have two kids, Cain and Abel. Cain is a farmer. He's a sower. He's a gardener. Abel is a herdsman, a breeder, a shepherd. And harvest time comes, and both of them offer something to the Lord. Cain brought some of his fruits and vegetables. Abel brought some of the firstborn of his flock. God sees the sacrifice of both brothers, and the Bible explains that he had favor on Abel's sacrifice, but not on Cain's. We're not told how Cain knew this. Perhaps God spoke to them. Perhaps he explained it to them himself. Perhaps this was over an extended amount of time. Maybe Abel was blessed with a healthier, richer flock while Cain's farm suffered. We don't know. But somehow, Cain understood that God did not appreciate his sacrifice as much as God appreciated Abel's sacrifice. So Cain was angry. But why was he angry? And who was he angry with? Was he mad at God? Was he mad at Abel? Was he mad at himself? And I think perhaps 1 John chapter 3 that Trace has already read for us this morning can help us understand. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. That's what John focuses on. Cain was mad at Abel because he was good. He did not kill his brother because he was bad. Cain did not kill Abel because he did something to warrant this anger that he harbored against him. Cain began to foster this anger towards Abel in his heart because Cain could not stand the fact that Abel was more righteous than he was. Cain did not hate God. He was not looking for ways to hurt God. Cain did make a sacrifice after all. He was trying to find God's favor. But he was holding on to something. Hebrews 11 that the Lance read for us this morning tells us that Abel offered a sacrifice out of faith. He offered his firstborn, the best that he had. And that's risky. What if he doesn't get more? What if he gives his best and doesn't get any more? Abel wasn't concerned with that. He had faith that God would provide for him. He loved God. He wanted to please him, and that's all. Cain loved God too. He also wanted to please him, but he also loved other things. And whatever those things were, it kept him from giving to God out of faith like Abel did. Now I'm sure that Cain was glad to be able to sacrifice. He was honored to have something to offer to God. I don't believe that Cain was angry about having to give to God. I don't think that this is necessarily a tithing lesson. I'm not going to try and guilt all of you into offering more. Don't be like Cain. That's not what today's about. Cain gave, but it was not out of faith. It was not righteous. Right action, wrong reason. And at some point, he did realize that what he did was wrong. But instead of repenting, he gets angry. Instead of lamenting, he schemes. He's not sorry, he's bitter. And why? Because he thinks, if it weren't for that dumb brother of mine, I wouldn't feel this way. If it weren't for that dumb brother of mine, I wouldn't look so bad. If it weren't for that dumb brother of mine ruining the curve, my sacrifice would be accepted. 1 John warns us of Cain. John points out what happened to him. He was angry because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. John writes this because he realizes that there are a lot of Christians who can fall into the same trap as Cain. I believe that many of us truly do want to please and to honor God. We really do love Him. But there are so many of us who call ourselves Christian who will harbor anger when we realize that someone else is more righteous than we are. We think that we are doing okay until that person comes along. The man or woman of God who is so pure of heart. The brother or sister who is so on fire for God. And it makes us angry. It makes us bitter. The human heart that has fallen short in some way can be so easily angered by someone who is making progress where we are failing. Let me say that again. The human heart that has fallen short in some way can be so easily angered by someone who is making progress where we are failing. We get jealous. We get resentful. When these people and their righteousness rubs up against us, it tends to reveal those shortcomings. We feel exposed. And we usually don't kill them, but we have other ways of getting rid of them. We usually avoid them. We're passive aggressive towards them. We stay away from them. They make you feel bad about yourself, so you just keep your distance. But the worst situation is when we counter-criticize them. We'll find that one little ugly thing that we can find in them. And we'll magnify it. We'll exaggerate it. We'll shine the spotlight on it. We discourage them. We tear them down. We take them down to our level. Level the playing field. We don't kill them, but we kill their reputation. We kill their spirit. We put out their flame because our own deeds are evil and our brothers are righteous. God offers a warning to Cain. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, Sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. He says, why are you angry, Cain? Your brother did nothing wrong. If you also act out of faith and righteousness, won't I look upon your sacrifice with favor as well? This is not a competition. You can ask Morgan. I'm a pretty competitive person. You probably ask a lot of our students too. I'm a pretty competitive person. Some of that may have come out at our fall retreat last weekend. And I've always been a pretty good student. Maybe not always the best student, but a pretty good student. I always studied hard. I've always gotten good grades. But I remember a few times, however, when I would study with a classmate. And after a test, you know, I might get something like a 95 on a test. Not bad. At least I thought so. Until I noticed that my friend that I'd studied with would somehow make, I don't know, maybe a 97. I'd go, how did that happen? Does that teacher like him more than me? Did he cheat? How could he get a better grade than I? Now, that's a pretty petty attitude to have. And normally after about 30 seconds of that, I'd kind of come to my senses and realize that I was being more competitive than I really needed to be. Grades in a classroom are not competitive. The teacher doesn't hand out 1A. Just because my classmate got a higher exam score on one test doesn't mean that I could not have done as well. The extreme would be to harbor up my bitterness and come up with a way to sabotage my friend's grade. Instead, I was wise enough in those moments to realize that I should study more with that friend and learn from him. It's not a competition, and I think that's a weak illustration, but I hope it helps you see what God is trying to say to Cain. It is not a competition. Cain, if you have a brother who has the favor of the Lord, learn from him. Christian, if you have a brother or sister who is in favor with the Lord, learn from them. That was the advice from God. Here is the warning. Sin is crouching at the door, but you must rule over it. Sin is ready to pounce. Like a lion in the shadows, sin waits for our guard to be down. When we harbor bitterness and anger, it's as if we are throwing sin a bone to chew on. We allow sin to build its strength so that it can pounce. When God says that we must learn to rule over our sinful desires in our life, He implies that sin can also rule over us. Anger and bitterness strengthen sin, but love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, these strengthen our spirit so that we can rule over our sinful desires. That is God's warning, and is full of grace. This is a God who is not angry with Cain. This is a God who is patient. He walks with Cain, and he counsels Cain. He warns him. He gives him a chance to change. But Cain does not listen to God. Genesis tells us that Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. So Cain kills his brother. He delivers him into a trap, and Abel has no idea. He can't see it coming. And it makes me wonder how many good men and women of God